Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
When is the right time to bail out of your failing company? How can you make the move from friend to boss? As an entrepreneur, how do you find your focus? Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Cruz. Welcome to the LeadX Show, helping you to stand out and to get ahead. Now, today is the weekly wrap-up show where we take our time, we get to rant about miscellaneous stuff, we get to answer your questions, and I have a co-host, Tara Millett. Hey, Tara.
Hello, everyone. Good to be here again. I'm really excited.
So this will be 2 weeks in a row for us, Tara, right? We had some decent feedback from last week's show.
Yeah, round two fight. You know, I feel much more prepared, hopefully this time, right? But usually it's when you feel comfortable that stuff starts to slip. So I'm still apprehensive, but I feel good so far.
Did you get any comments from friends, family members, boyfriend from last week's show? Any critical feedback?
My friend listened to the wrap up the next day and then told my boyfriend that I called him out. So he had no idea what I said. He just heard that I called him out. So I had some explaining to do. But I just told him, I was like, I'm just telling everyone that I'm exhausting you with how much I talk about all these leadership tips. And so he felt better about it. But no, I had so much fun and the response was really great. It's great to be able to talk about these ideas with people as well as they're watching. So yeah, no, I had a great time. I thought it was awesome.
We got a lot of positive feedback. I did get one comment from someone who said, I really need to clean up the bookshelves behind me because, as a productivity time management guy, it's really a bad thing for my brand. So I did get that comment. And then, I got a comment asking if I wear makeup before I go on camera because I look a lot better in video than I do in person.
Wow.
That was from my sister, actually.
Okay, I was going to say, I was like, that's a bit of a backhanded compliment, but if it's coming from family, it's totally allowed.
Yeah. Well, she's my least favorite sister, so I...
Uh-oh. Beefs are being started on LeadX here.
That's right. So what's been going on? Anything good in your week?
You know what? This week's been pretty good. As you know, I got some pretty weird news last week, and it kind of derailed my life for a little bit, but... so far, I've been pretty happy with my bounce back rate, you know, and I feel way more motivated. I feel ready to take things on. And it's just...
You just teased the audience about, like, your news. Are you not going to share any of it?
Yeah. I was like, it might be boring. But for anyone watching, yeah, I'm Canadian, and I'm in the process of renewing my visa so I can stay here and hopefully keep working, right? And I found out some crazy stuff about, you know, my lawyer and it just threw a wrench into the works. And now that I understand it better and I've talked it out, I feel a lot better. But it was just one of those moments where it's like 100% out of your control.
And this is a big reveal. You've revealed that you're Canadian.
I know. I'm coming out as Canadian.
Part of why I wanted you on the show, because now we can say we're like global, you know, we're just global.
We need to get someone who's of Mexican origin, too. That way we can say we're NAFTA.
That's right.
And then we can just have the full continents, right? But, so it was just kind of a weird week last week. But I feel a lot better about everything now. I feel so much more prepared. So I'm kind of giving myself a bit of props for kind of toughing it out. And cool. So I feel good about that. But what about you? How was your week?
Yeah, it was a crazy week. This is and you could tell because I never try to grow scruff. This is just because I literally don't have time to shave. You know, I never try to grow a beard because it's always patchy and now it's gray. So the less gray, the better. But this shows how bad my week is. I mean, it was all good, but it was podcast week. So, you know, I don't know if people know that. Like, we have a daily show, but I do a month's worth of podcasts in 2 days. And it's a little rough. And so it's just been that. And then I'm behind on the book deadline, working on the leadership book. So it's been extra busy. But also, like, I was energized by the talks. And these shows won't air for almost 4 weeks. But, you know, I spoke to a former Super Bowl champion, Gary Brackett, and just talked all about, I mean, just inspirational. Like, he wasn't picked when he was in high school. No college picked him to come play, and he just walked on practice and won a spot and became like team captain and MVP. And then he went to Rutgers, which is where I went. And then as a senior at Rutgers, he didn't get drafted by the NFL. Everyone thought he was too small. And he just went to Indianapolis Colts camp undrafted and just fought and earned a place on the team. And 1 year in, he became the defensive captain. And that was when they went all the way to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl. So, like, being told, no, we don't want you. And he just shows up anyway. Yeah. And then becomes, like, the MVP. Like, it was just really inspirational story. He's a great storyteller. And I interviewed another one that's really kind of stuck with me, Connie Tang. She, 22 years ago, dead broke, went from New York to a suburb outside of Dallas, actually had a negative net worth, borrowed money to get to Dallas. Now it's 20 years later, and she's the CEO and president of a company called Princess House that does like $200 million in annual revenue, has 25,000, you know, consultants selling their stuff. And she emigrated from Hong Kong as a kid, you know, grew up poor, and just an inspiring story about, again, like really starting with nothing and, you know, working her butt off. And she had some great advice about networking. So you can tell I'm still geeked up about it. So like the shows don't come out for like 4 weeks. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want everybody to hear these, but I'll remind people when we get close to them.
I know I have to be reminding myself now every week that I can't spoil the surprise for people if I know about stuff beforehand. I have to kind of curtail my knowledge for the last week, but there's some really interesting stuff coming. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good. Well, why don't we dive in, Tara? Do you have our iTunes review of the week?
Indeed, I do. It was actually posted just yesterday. It's very recent. It's from Indigo Cole, if you're out there. And it says, Kevin's podcast has been game-changing for me and my career. His format is to the point, easy to follow, and entertaining. I find myself quoting the show in many of my coaching sessions throughout the day. The one-minute tips at the beginning of the show are insightful and easy to implement that day. His interview style allows guests to get to the heart of their theory or approach quickly and always leaves the listeners with a way to turn theory into practice and action. Kevin takes a humble approach to his podcast, letting the guests shine without overshadowing or talking too much. I also love how he starts every interview with the same question. Tell us about a time you failed and what did you learn? This show should definitely be a part of your daily routine. Amazing review from Indigo Cole.
Yeah, now I'm afraid that amazing review is going to scare other people. Like, we're grateful for a one-sentence review that says, pretty good show. You know, we'll take that. But, like, this is amazing. Like, that's really a very nice, thoughtful review.
Very above and beyond. And I love when people get into the details. Oh, Brianna, that was yours? Oh, that's wonderful.
No way.
Yeah, she just commented saying that that's her review. Yeah, I saw it yesterday and I loved it. I thought it was so nice. And I love that you went into the details of why you enjoyed it. So that's really cool.
That's actually kind of a crazy coincidence that you would have picked that review. Like, everyone's going to think this was a setup.
It really wasn't. That's so cool to have you watching, Brianna. And you have a t-shirt coming your way as a huge thank you from us for taking the time to do that. So please get in touch with us, reach out to info@leadx.org, that's .org, and send us your send us your address. She thinks it's funny too. We'll get you a t-shirt as a thank you. And a reminder to everyone else out there, be like Brianna, you know, and get onto that iTunes, subscribe, review. Not only may we pick it and you know, say it out loud on our wrap up, but we'll send you a little swag. And also reach out if you subscribe, and we might just add you to the LeadX Ambassador Facebook group, which is a very exclusive club, and you should definitely want to be a part of it. And of course, don't forget, we have a free ebook, guys. Absolutely free, so there's nothing to lose. It's Richard Branson's 7 Secrets to Leadership, and you can go and get that at leadx.org/Branson. And as always, you can find us on social media. We're LeadX Life on Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and Glipglorp and whatever other platform comes out tomorrow that we have to learn about. But yeah, that was a great review. That was awesome.
And Tara, I realized I think we're doing the thing again where for people who are listening to the podcast, they're going to be like, what are they talking about, Brianna, and what are they laughing about? And it's because Brianna's on our live Facebook stream right now, and she heard the review, and so she's typing comments, and so that's why you're hearing us react to what we're seeing on the screen at the same time.
I feel bad. I have to keep reminding myself that we have listeners who might not see you. Sound like we're talking to ourselves. Yeah, that's really funny. But yeah, if you want, we can get started on some questions.
Yeah, let's take questions that I know have been sent in previously. It's a good time to remind our Facebook watchers to, first of all, please click like and share on Facebook so we get more people hearing about the LeadX show. And feel free to type your questions and comments into the comments field, and hopefully we'll be able to read those and get to them before we have to sign off today. But what do we got already in the pipeline here?
We've got some good ones, some that I think might be stumpers, but we'll see. The first one's from Erin, and she writes, I used to be really good friends with my coworkers until I got promoted to supervisor. Now everything is awkward. How do I get them to respect my authority? What's the best way to enforce deadlines and performance standards? Can we still go to happy hour together, even though I'm not one of them?
Yes, I get this question quite a bit. It's like, how do you move from the, from the friend zone into the boss zone, and what's the right way to handle that? And I think the first thing is, you need to, Erin, you need to own it. So you need to be really clear. Like, would you rather be friends or would you rather be the boss? And I have had people tell me, I'm going to turn down that promotion because I value the friendships more, and that's okay. There's no right or wrong answer, but if you're going to accept the position of manager, then realize, you need to own that decision and fulfill that role. And I think when your friends and now your direct reports, come at you with like, oh, now you're all different and you used to be one of us and you used to think the same kind of things, you just need to explain like, yes, I have been in your shoes. I do have your perspective, but you haven't been in mine. You've not been in the boss role, the team leader role. So I need you to understand, the perspective and role I'm in, and to try to set some boundaries. Now, I'm not one to say that the boss shouldn't go out drinking, shouldn't even see them, socially over the weekends. I don't think you need to draw a line like that, but I think you need to have that conversation that when you're in the office, you're the manager and you're paid to represent the interests of the company. You're paid to represent the interests of higher up leadership. So your first loyalty goes to those above, not to the team. And if you're not ready to really have that loyalty, then again, you can't go into that role. And Tara, this reminds me, I had this question last year, and I can remember, I've got a lot of friends in the military, including the Marines, and I remember doing a talk for them, and they were, so many of the younger officers were talking to my friend General Bailey, and it was, General and Sir and all this stuff, but then General Bailey held a barbecue that night at his house, and all the same people were drinking beer together with General Bailey, having fun, joking with each other, and I asked him about it, and I also asked former Navy SEAL Randy Hetrick, who is the founder and CEO of TRX. And, they had the similar answer, and they said, in the military, leadership is so valued, and from the start, you're trained how to be a follower. So it's like when the uniforms are on, they call General Bailey General as if it's like his name. It's his first name. Once the uniform's off and it's off hours, then it's okay, to call him Ron and to be a friend. And what General Bailey and Randy Hetrick told me is that, unfortunately, we don't teach leadership like that in the workplace. I mean, only one out of five frontline managers get any training at all, and we don't really get training in followership and leadership. So that's where the problem is. It's not really with you. It's with your friends, your direct reports, who really don't understand that, when you're at work, you're the general. When you're outside of work, it's okay to crack open a beer. So you just need to sort of explain that to them. And, in a worst case scenario, just you bounce it back to them. Would they rather that, an outsider have been promoted or brought in, to the team? Isn't it better for them that they do know you, your strengths and your quirks, that you know them, their strengths and their quirks? So I think you just have to have that honest conversation, but be clear that you've chosen and accepted that role as manager, and your first loyalty is to the company, at least during working hours.
That's really interesting. You know, when I saw this question, I thought back to a few times when I've had a friend become a supervisor. And I remember the feeling of it being kind of awkward and weird and not being sure how to really work within those new constraints. And I think you're right on the money in a lot of ways. I think if you set up a framework of how you expect things to run at work and you're really consistent about it, then I don't think it's going to be as much of a problem. Where you get into troubles where you have a friend who comes to you and says, oh, I messed this up, but, you know, well, can you push the deadline? Can you do this? And then you acquiesce and then things get
right.
In terms of like going out and socializing, I mean, I don't think that, like you said, I don't think there's anything wrong with being social outside of work, but I would say, like, just for the sake of safety, maybe once in a while say that you have plans and let them, you know, kind of have a little bit of a happy hour venting session on their own, right?
Yeah.
It might not necessarily be that they're complaining about you, but they might want to vent about the company and they don't want a supervisor there to hear that. So I think
makes
it's fine once a month, just let them have their own time so they can kind of have that out. But yeah, that's super interesting. All right, next question. This is from Josh and he says, Kevin, I'm starting to write online and to offer advice to others. And I find myself drawn to many topics: leadership, time management, personal finance. I have strong ties to each of those things, but I know it will be best for me to be more targeted while I build my brand. How did you settle on time management and employee engagement, for example?
Yeah, and again, this is this question around focus, especially as a solo entrepreneur or as a startup. I get it a lot. And, you know, I think that with our work, there is a spectrum from hardcore business to hardcore art. So to me, you know, an artist is someone who says, like, I'm just going to do what I want to do, what I'm interested in. If anybody buys it, if anybody's interested, fine. But I don't care. I'm an artist and I'm not going to, you know, poison my art with what other people want. On the other end of the spectrum, you get like the hardcore business people are saying, I don't really care about what I'm making, what I'm selling, what I'm doing. I just want to do whatever's going to make the most money. So you tell me what you want to buy, and that's going to be what I want to sell. And I think that the problem is early on, if you need money, if you want to grow a business, then the more focused you can be, the better. So now I also have, you know, these interests in productivity and time management and leadership and marketing and all these different kinds of things. But if I want to make money from being a leadership thought leader, then all the time that I spend writing articles about time management, speaking on time management, doing whatever about time management is taking away time that could be building up that leadership brand. And just in, to put it into real world terms, think of the biggest leadership gurus out there. So what names come to mind? Maybe John Maxwell. He's got 60 books on leadership. 60 books on leadership. Ken Blanchard, 50 books on leadership. Marshall Goldsmith, 30 books on leadership. You know, every year they're writing one or two books. You'd think they would run out of things to talk about with leadership, but they just keep finding new ways to say it. And so the answer is, like, if you care most about the business and the money and you're just starting out, pick one and stick to it. And maybe it's the intersection of, like, what do you value? What, you know, what are you passionate about most? And what has the most interest? You know, how can you make money with this interest? But once you get to a level, you know, I mean, I focused on leadership exclusively for a long time, but life is short and I've, you know, sold some businesses and, you know, been fortunate and I don't have to worry as much about the wealth angle of it. And I, like, so I'm interested in time and productivity, so I'm going to write books on that. I am going to speak on that. I am interested in marketing. But I am doing it knowing that the more books and talks and everything I do in other areas, the weaker I am. I'm not a John Maxwell because I'm in a whole bunch of different areas. So there's no one right answer. It's like, where on that spectrum between I just want to do what I want to do and I want to do what makes money, you know, where do you want to fall on that? When you're first starting out, you probably should stick to one thing until you've established yourself and then add another. And even when you add things, try to find a way to justify it to your audience, like a through line. And so even in my case, when I launched the productivity book, it used to be I would always talk about wholehearted leadership. That was kind of the term and the branding. Well, with productivity, it's about extreme productivity. But how do I have one website that addresses both of those things? How do I talk about what I can do with both of those things? Well, for me, I sort of say, look, to have a successful career, to have be successful at the highest levels in business, you need to be a great leader and you need to be productive. You need to have the people stuff down and you need to know how to get things done. You really can't have one or the other. And it's true that in business, a lot of people who are interested in leadership are interested in time management. So I can kind of pull it off, but again, it's not ideal.
That's so interesting. You know, I mean, obviously I have a limited perspective on this because I mean, to a certain extent, but I do feel what Josh is talking about in terms of your resume, right? I feel like a lot of millennials tend to have a bit of a hodgepodge resume and it's tough to know how to brand yourself as any one thing when maybe you've, you know, dabbled in social media or dabbled in, you know, content creation, dabbled in this or that. So it is an interesting concept. And there is a lot of, you know, writing out there saying that you should kind of try to focus on one at least to start. And I think that's probably the easiest way to go. Because then you can also say, I'm an expert. I've been writing this exclusively for so many years, you know? And so it's really interesting. I like that answer a lot. That spectrum idea is really cool. All right, so actually now we have an interesting question from Colette about when do you know it's time to get a new job and when it looks like your company, you know, isn't doing so well. And she actually used our new page to do it, which is super cool, and I tried it. So if anyone out there wants to try it, please do it because it's actually really fun. It's leadx.org/askkevin, and you can actually record your question, and then we can play it during the wrap up. So it's really fun. Please go check that out. But do you have that audio file?
Yes, and I'm gonna try. So this is another experiment. Every week we have a new experiment. So here we go.
Hi, this is Colette. I work at a market research firm and the future is not looking so bright. A lot of jobs are already being outsourced and the company is about to go from public to private. So a lot of people are estimating that we're gonna have a lot of layoffs when that happens. So my question is, when the future of your company and your place in that company isn't looking so good, at what point do you jump ship?
So at what point do you jump ship when your company isn't doing so good? So this reminds me of the last company that I'd started and then sold was a company called Axiom. And, you know, after 5 years, I sold it and stuck around for about a year and I decided to move on. And when I left, it caused a little bit of a stir. I was the founder and the new owners were like, my team members didn't really like them that much. And another one of my key employees announced that he was leaving. So all of a sudden everyone's like, uh-oh, you know, it's sinking ship, last rat off kind of thing. And when people came to me to say, you know, what should we do? What's going on? Should we leave? You're leaving, you know? And what I told them is it's really easy to hurt a company. It's really hard to put a company out of business. And in fact, over the next year or two at Axiom, you know, it went from about, you know, 55 employees down to, I think, about 25. You know, so about half the people left. But what's interesting is what happened to the other 25 that chose to stay? Well, they ended up, you know, getting raises and bonuses as incentive to stay. Many of them got promoted into higher positions because there were openings and they, you know, were the most experienced, knowledgeable people there. I can remember one salesperson who was sort of, she didn't have the best accounts because she was the newest salesperson in, didn't have a lot of accounts. Well, when the top salespeople left, she inherited their great accounts. So whenever you think your company is hurting, it's natural to wonder whether you should go. And in fact, one of the top three drivers of employee satisfaction, employee engagement is sort of future confidence, a trust in the future. I think my company's got a bright future, which means I should have a bright future. So it's natural to feel badly about it and to be thinking about going. But realize you should always be going towards somewhere and not away from somewhere. So rather than saying, how do I know when the right time is to make the jump? I think we always need to be ready and always looking. And that's kind of a weird thing for me to say, because I'm all about engagement and all the rest. And I don't mean like every day I'm on LinkedIn trying to job hop to get 5% more, but it means we shouldn't be waiting. Every week it breaks my heart. I mean, I got, you know, 50 something year old friends who email me, you know, maybe it's monthly, that say, "Hey Kevin, you're not going to believe it. Came out of the blue. I just got let go at big pharma company. I've been here 25 years, so loyal, never saw it coming. Now what am I supposed to do? I'm 55 and I got to find a new job. So let me know if you hear of anything." And then I go on LinkedIn and I see that they have a horrible profile, no photo, 3 connections. And it's like, what have you been doing all this time, right? So dig your well before you're thirsty. And whether you're 25 or 55, whether your company is booming or whether your company is struggling, you need to be, you know, developing a little bit every day, you know, getting a little bit smarter, getting a little bit better, developing your network, helping other people, making sure your LinkedIn profile is up to date and representative, and then just be open to interesting opportunities. So Colette, it sounds like your company's going through a lot and you had better be ready, but you know, use it as a reminder that whether they come through fine or not, you just always want to be ready for the right opportunity.
That's excellent. I like that idea. It's kind of like your online professional profiles are your garden. You know, you got to constantly kind of be tending to them, de-weeding them, watering them, just a consistent, management of your online professional profile, because it's just so important these days to be kept up to date on that stuff. So yeah, that's an interesting question, you know, and I never thought of the other angle of it being possibly an opportunity or an advantage if you choose to stick around in a company that's maybe going...
Gives you leverage.
Yeah, exactly. And right? I never thought of that. You know, I would have been like, "Colette, run, get your LinkedIn ready." But it's a really great reminder that, yeah, you never really know. And so sticking around but being prepared both, I think, is probably the right way to go.
Cool.
Great. And that's the end of our questions that were sent in. But if anyone on our Facebook Live has any questions that they'd like to ask now, feel free to pop those up. We are always ready to answer those.
What do we got coming up next week? Because this will air podcast-wise tomorrow on Friday. So what are the Monday through Thursday-ish shows?
Right. So we have Mike Tippetts on Monday.
Oh, wow. That was a while ago. That was fun. He's one of our listeners.
It's really, I like that interview a lot because Mike Tippetts he's a business leader, and he has really taken on a lot of the main concepts and principles that LeadX kind of tries to hammer home. And he goes in depth about how he used employee engagement in a really practical way. And it's really interesting because he really takes you step by step how he approached it. So that's a really interesting interview if you're into employee engagement. And Greg Sattell. He's an author and a speaker. He talks about the innovation matrix and how companies can kind of navigate the disruption age that we're in with startups and stuff, and how to kind of keep that competitive, innovative edge that everyone's looking for. And we have Jan Rutherford, former Special Forces member. He shares some amazing stories about joining the military, but being kind of on the smaller side.
He just talks about him being, I don't even remember, you know, 5 feet tall, 120 pounds. I might be exaggerating a little, but like hilarious.
It's so great. He has such a great approach to it and such a great sense of humor too. And he talks about how we can all stand to be more self-reliant and how to approach that with your team. So it's really interesting. And then we have Robin Dreek, another a former FBI agent who is going to give us the insider tips on how to approach people and build trust and rapport really quickly with them. And I have to say, when I was reading it, it was not at all what I expected. I don't know if you experienced that either, but I thought it was going to be some kind of dark, you know, secret agent man, psychological kung fu. It's actually really very practical and pragmatic and doable. It was really cool.
Yeah, I think everybody needs to launch their own podcast just for the opportunity to talk to interesting people. And Robin Dreek, like I said, I mean, it's... His job for a long time in the FBI was counterintelligence, you know, and so he would be trying to win the trust very quickly of sources and agents and all the rest. And he talks about how he does it. And You know, it's funny, Tara, because I read his book, and his specialty, he was working counter-espionage against the Russians.
Really?
So I said, So I said to him before we went on air, this is the stuff like I can't say on the episode, but like, I said, hey, I'm going to have to ask you on the air. Like, I'm not doing my job as a journalist, you know, if I don't ask you about what's going on with like Trump and Russia and all this stuff. And he's like, oh, well, you know, I can't address any of that. I really can't talk about that. But he said, let me just say, the Russians are coming at us hard now, and they've always been coming at us hard. That's all I'm going to say. I'm like, all right. So I didn't really get to ask it of him, but I thought it was interesting.
That's very ominous sounding. But I just loved, yeah, he had a very kind of relaxed and self-deprecating way about him. I thought that was so fun. Because you always think of agents as being these, like, tough, you know, cold, kind of hard to read, but he was really great.
Well, yeah, so all you podcast listeners who already subscribed to our show, come back next week. And, of course, anyone on Facebook or just sampling this show, you know, go to leadx.org/subscribe, and that'll bounce you to the right place on iTunes. And again, go to leadx.org/askkevin to submit your question. And of course, if we read it on the air, then we're going to send you a t-shirt or some other cool swag, maybe a coffee mug, something of that nature. And Tara, we survived our second week in a row. Are you going to come back and co-host next week too?
Try and stop me, Kevin.
All right. So until next time, friends, remember, leadership is about influence, which means we are all leaders. You are leading all of the time. You positively influence with your behavior, and you influence people negatively when you're a bystander. Be mindful, be intentional. How will you lead today?